good voice genes from my dad and mom that that's not always a problem. Okay, we're continuing in looking at the truth from God's Word. Now, how many of you have been here a lot of Sundays and have heard the Word of God, the truth from God's Word every Sunday that you were here? Right? But yet we're putting this emphasis on the truth from God's Word on some topic today. So, yeah, it's still the truth from God's Word. No matter if we're picking a hot topic or not, it's still the truth from His Word. And the truth from His Word is the thing that changes and makes our lives what they need to be as we live and move and have our being. Thank you for each person and your part that you had this morning in the service here. Thank you for that. It looks like the Fanny and Chris and myself were sort of the key ones up here front, but we thank you for those in the back here who were doing the work before we came here today. And I want to thank Elder Wise and Elder Holloman and the other Elder Holloman. Thank you. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we call you our pastors. Thank you very much for serving us. For all that you do for us, it's the last 2 days yet. See, we have tomorrow yet for that. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. We realize that, you know, there's a lot of time and effort and prayer go into all the meetings and everything that go on, just as you're having a meeting tomorrow night. Thank you for that. Thank you. Hi there. Okay, this morning we're going to spend our time and looking at who is your identity in? Who is your identity in? Think about that. What's your identity? Who do you represent other than the Martin family, the Holland family, the other families that are all represented? You're a representative of them, but you're also a representative of who you have your identity in. And why do you have your identity in that person? Our identity is very important because as we travel on this journey of life, it's amazing what our identity leaves. Our identity leaves impressions. Our identity leaves impressions. It also can impact people's lives. It can impact people's lives. And it can impact people's lives for eternity or away from eternity. You say, what? Yes, our lives are influential in the lives of the people that we don't even talk to. People that watch us. People that see us by our actions, by our deeds that we do. Some factors for consideration this morning with identity deal with masks. Why do people wear masks? For what reasons? This also can lead us into areas that hinder us from serving God. One of those areas is like Halloween. And the pagan activities that go with it. Or also the occult. The occult. I think that's had enough topics so far. So we've got to find some truths for that. We've got to find some truths. Occult practices that are not to be part of a Christian's life. So what do you think of when you think of masks? I don't know if anybody has bought a mask or not in their lifetime or in their recent, but a mask is used to cover or partially keep your face from showing through so that somebody can't tell who you are. It could be a sculptured face, a copy of a face. Boy, we see those things around now with the election going on. There's molds of people's faces. Yes. There's also molds of lots of things that go on, lots of faces that are showing up. And they're very, very mean looking. They're very ugly. But they're to scare and to deceive and to make you something you're not. Something that serves to conceal. Masks are worn for protection. How many of you wear masks on your job at times? One, two, three. How many of you should be wearing masks? Yes, we should be wearing masks. You're right. Because of dust. Dust. There was a time I was driving truck and I was hauling sawdust. Well, I was hauling wood shavings. It was from Root Kitchen down to Goodville. And they said the dust bin had to be clean. I was working for a Galen Krause guy. And he said the dust bin needed to be clean. So you had to back your truck under, and then you had to go in the truck and open up the bin. Well, that was the first experience I had with that. Well, that dust just rushed right around me. I had a mask on, but it still came through. It was not a good situation. But I'm here to talk about it. Thank you, Lord. So we put masks on to keep the dust out. And Dad'll like this story. I came home. This was free sawdust, and we dumped it in one of our sheds. And I think if you went up there today in some of those rails, the dust would still be there because it has not been disturbed. But it did soak up the liquids in the manure. Okay, so much for that. So we use masks to keep poisonous gas out. We have oxygen in that we can breathe in while we're doing things. And I had an experience with that. I was sandblasting at a place, and this place was like 40 feet up in the air. But anyway, I had a sandblaster and I was blasting, but I had a big hood on and I had a fresh air vent blowing in so that I would have air to breathe. And you know, there was a time that thing shut off for a little bit. It didn't take long for things to change inside that hood. That was not a good thing. But we wear masks for all kinds of things. Masks are put over our face also to hide our identity. Robbers or thieves, and you see that. And nowadays with all these closed circuit cameras and things, it's amazing what can be made out of an individual even with the mask on. Masks are to keep germs away in the operating room, the nurse there back there. Becky, you're involved in healthcare where you should be wearing masks, right? Yep. Surgical masks. Masks for nuclear plants, for TMI. Masks for smog if you're living in China. Right, Anna? Anna used to tell me about, and I've seen that on how people wear masks to keep the smog out. Or masks for Halloween. Yes, it is Halloween. And Halloween is the holiday of tomorrow, the 31st, when many children dress up in costumes, go trick-or-treating. Halloween has activities such as fortune-telling, hearing stories, ghosts, witches, goblins. Halloween's developed from the ancient New Year festival, Festivals of the Dead. Back in the 800s, the church established All Saints Day so that people could continue, listen to what I'm saying, All Saints Day, November 1st, so the people can continue a festival that they had celebrated before becoming a Christian. The church was honoring the dead on that day. The people made their old pagan customs part of their Christian holy day. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Bad thing, yes. Some of the customs were developed from various groups of Celts in Ireland. People begged for food in parades for gods, spelled with a small g. To appease them, they would put stuff out for them to keep the spirits away. The leaders wore wide robes, they had head of animals, and they lit bonfires on hillsides to scare the evil spirits away. That's not exactly where we want to go, but it's good for us to hear that because we're going to go to the truth of the word as we continue on here this morning. Why is it that people wear masks? To impress people with something they're really not. To impress people with something they're really not. Now, to impress people with something they're really not. Now, did Glenn get involved in that? Yeah, Glenn's human. We need to be careful of that. We all need to be careful of that, that we aren't putting on masks to deceive people. We put masks on to keep impurities out, to keep fresh air in, to cover the real. Just like when people are hunting, the hunter's here, you're getting your camouflage clothing so that the deer aren't going to see you as quickly, and yet you still, by law, have to have some orange or something to stand out so that hopefully people will see you're out there in the woods also. It's also to hide others' real identity, to cover one's sin or action. Maybe what mask might you be wearing? And I've put masks into the area of worry, to the area of pride, indifference, criticism, bitterness, impurity, intemperance, disobedience to parents, disobedience to God, husbands and wives, dishonesty, lying, immodesty, hate, selfishness, bad attitudes, guilt, stealing, deception, hypocrisy, etc. I'm not going to get to the end of that list. Now, do you wear different masks Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday than you wear on Sunday morning? I see a head shaking here. What do you think? Do you do that? Do we do that? So if somebody sees you today and they see your actions on Thursday, are they different? Okay, they're different. Well, they shouldn't be. We should be consistent throughout our lives, our daily journey, our daily walk. We should be doing the same. What is it? What is it that masks do to you? What does wearing a mask do to you? First of all, I'd like to tell you that it robs us of our real joy that we can have. It robs us of real joy. Or it can be a very little trivial matter that can rob us of that joy. It can just be a little thing. We're all old enough in this room to know that there are times in our lives that the little things trip us up than some big log in our way. The little things affect us more. It robs us of our tears. It's been said already that women can't cry because their face will get streaky when the tears run across their makeup. Men can't cry because it's not masculine for men to cry in our society. And I had a situation with this with an individual that even when the person would get hurt or something would happen, the person doesn't cry. No tears. No tears at all. No matter how bad they hurt, they suppress all the tears. Well, I believe God made us with tears, just like a pressure cooker. I remember Mom using a pressure cooker because she wanted to get the meal ready quick. And sometimes a pressure cooker would blow its top. That thing would pop off and go wherever. But there's tears of joy. There's tears of sorrow. There's tears of conviction. There's tears of thankfulness and tears of goodness. Of goodness to God. Tears, just like Dad said about a granddaughter being born, this great-granddaughter being born. Those are times for tears of joy. The scripture says to sow in tears and reap in joy. Mm-hmm. Sow in tears, reap in joy. Do you know also that it can rob us of the joy of giving? And I think somebody has a paper, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It can rob us of the joy of giving. Matthew 5, 23, 24, please. Does somebody have that? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Therefore, if any of you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something. gift there before the altar and go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
Thank you. It also, see what you need to do, deal with it. You need to deal with it. God is going to help you deal with that. You don't have to do it on your own. Also, it can rob us of peace. In Matthew 18, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If thou shalt hear thee, thou hast gained a brother." Easy living? Easy things to do? No. We need God's help to be able to face those situations, to be able to deal with it the way we should. Also, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So, next thing we want to look at is God will help us put mass aside so we can be a real person intended that He intends us to be. How many of you have products in your refrigerator that have a sign on it that says real? Why do we have signs on things that say real? Because there's imitations out there. And the imitations may function just like the real thing, but the real thing is identified so that you know that it's the real thing. Real is on a product that is genuine because of the imitation products that are in the market. Through obedience to God, obedience, do you know that's a distinguishing factor of you and I? It's a distinguishing characteristic of the children of God. And what did Saul say? Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The question should stand as long as you live. In the morning, "Lord, what will you have me to do today? Who do you want me to meet today? Where can I share a word for you? How can I give a word of encouragement to someone that I may meet along my way?" Yes, obedience to God is a distinguishing characteristic. Just as children, obey your parents in the Lord, Ephesians 6:1. Four reasons for giving this command is that it is right, that it may be well-pleasing with you, that it may be well-pleasing unto the Lord, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Obedience to parents is not only a stepping stone to an obedient life and in other relationships, but also the stepping stone to the highest sphere of usefulness to God and to our fellow man. You see, that all flows together. And sometime, since we're all older in this room, some older than others, take time for reflection and look at your life and see how God has used you or things that have taken place in your life along the journey that have had these things take place. Through your obedience to God, we are able to be transformed instead of being conformed to the world. For some reason or another, something seems familiar about that because it comes from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think we just had a district conference and the theme was fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you and I present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Fixing our eyes on Jesus is an important feature that we have in our daily walk of life. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, just as we sang today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And we also sang about, oh Lord, I need You. Oh Lord, I need You today. And we also sang about welcoming Holy Spirit. Now we know where two or three are gathered together there in My name, there I am in the midst. Another area that I think we want to look at briefly this morning is that of the mask or the lure of occults. Switching gears a little bit here, but it still has to do with the main focus of the morning here. And I'd like to, if somebody would read for us, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12.
When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination, sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, because these same detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you.
Thank you. The lure of the occult, what is the occult? Is knowledge that of the hidden things. Is knowledge of the paranormal. We see the extent of the occult is belief and the belief among young people. And I give you this information from the Gallup polls of teenagers 13 through 17. 29% believe in witchcraft. 29%. 22% believe in ghosts. Fully half believe in ESPN, extrasensory participation, I believe it is. Perception, thank you. Extrasensory perception. Growing occult influence upon children as supernatural has become an increasing part of the movies, music, cultism is mushrooming among teenagers. It appears more youth are embracing morbid pagan rituals of the Halloween season year round, not just at one time. What is the cumulative influence on children? Counselor Wendell Amstutt said, I know people say it's just once a year, just a few weeks. As a counselor, I know much can be and is learned in just a few weeks, year after year, that can leave a significant impact upon one's life. And we just heard the scripture read for us about that. What the Word of God says, the truth from the Word of God, what does the Bible say? It says, hate evil, don't delight in it. God views witchcraft and all occult activities as evil. Give no regards to mediums, familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:31. Don't seek after them because I am the Lord your God. And the person who turns after mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person, cut him off from his people, Leviticus 26. And again, we read in this scripture here what was taking place and how that was going. And in Galatians 5:20, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And I'm just skipping into some of them here. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, and like those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's saying from the scriptures. And as we look here at Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, there are nine things that we need to stay away from. Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 12. Nine things to stay away from. Number one, human sacrifice. What is human sacrifice? It is sacrificing of children to false gods in the fire to appease small g gods. Second is divinational fortune telling. If you watch TV, you can't miss the ads of the psychics and the people who are supposed to know. How many of you been into any cities recently? Into any parks or any places? Who is sitting around at art shows or anything? There are tables. There are booths. You give me $25, maybe $10, and I'll take a look at your hand and I'll read your hand for you and tell what your future is going to be. It's out there. Observers of times, which is astrology. Christians don't believe that stars can guide their lives. Do you? Christians believe God will guide our lives through His Word, which is the truth. His Bible. His Bible is the truth. Number four, enchanters. A person who uses chance to cast spells. In Michigan, does this happen in America? Yes. In Michigan in 1999, a 17-year-old honor student sued the school because she couldn't wear her Whittington pin in the school. Witches. Witches are not make-believe characters. They are not make-believe, no. Exodus 22:18 says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now, the New Testament wouldn't condone the Old Testament practice of executing witches, but they have become accepted members in our culture and in our society. Witches don't believe in somebody from Satan or from heaven. They believe in five elementals: earth, wind, fire, water. Earth, wind, fire, water, and spirits.
They believe in creation,
not the creator. Okay. Yep. They think things come out of that. The other thing is charmers. Objects that are made by someone to protect you or to curse others are things that charmer objects. I've heard of that already. Somebody cast a spell. Seven. Consulters of familiar spirits. A familiar spirit is a spirit that impersonates a person who is dead. A wizard. It's number eight. A wizard, magician, or a sorcerer. A person who uses magic to control people or uses occult practices to entice people into witchcraft. Ninth. Necromancer. Someone who claims to contact the dead. Someone who claims to contact the dead. And I think this is found in some movies. The Sixth Sense. Lion King. And the other one is Ghost. God forbids contacting any spirits unless it is the Holy Spirit. Unless it's a Holy Spirit. And in verse 12 here it says, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God will both drive them out from before thee in this land that they were going in to possess." That's information that we don't need to hear often about. But it's there, and it's from God's Word. It's the truth of it, and we need to think about it. Steer clear of it. The question is, what should I do with these things that I just talked about that may be associated in my life? Well, let's hear from the truth of God's Word. Acts 19, 18 through 20. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought them back together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's about $10,000 worth. I want to tell you, I remember times when there were some young people, there were some bonfires, and people brought music and books and things that were reading, and they put it in that bonfire. If you have stuff like that, you don't put it to some used bookstore. You get rid of it, burn it, make it ashes, so that it's taken out and gone. Should Christians be involved in the pagan holiday of Halloween? Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Christ is asking for our obedience, yours and mine. But first, he wants our heart. First, he wants our hearts. He's willing that anyone who calls in the name of the Lord can be saved and be delivered from darkness, witches, murders, others, can be delivered. It doesn't matter. He can and will forgive you. I'm going to share yet from Romans, because we can't just stop there. We need to have something more positive, something from the truth to lead us on after we go to those bonfires and get rid of those masks and those things that hinder us from following Christ as he would have us. First of all, you must admit you're a sinner. You have sinned against God. Romans 3:23. We're in the Romans Road now. It's called the Romans Road because it's all these scriptures are from the book of Romans. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. You must understand that the penalty of sin is death, which is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You also need to understand that God loves you no matter what you have done. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah and receive his gift of salvation. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, help us in walking after the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. And I have some scriptures, I think, out. Romans 8, verses 1 through 6. Romans 8, 1 through 6. Hear the word.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind belongs to life and peace. That's Spirit with a capital S. Control your mind leads to life and peace.
And then we have scripture from Romans 8, starting at verse 7.
because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Thank you. Thank you. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's available for spiritual surgery in your life and in my life. Surgery doesn't always feel good, but the doctors and nurses do the operating by the guidance of God's wisdom, and we therefore let the healing and wholeness up to him as he heals us back together. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning thanking you, Father, for your Holy Spirit's presence with us. Father God, as we're dealing with these subjects today that Satan doesn't want us to talk about, we just come before you praising you for wisdom, for Holy Spirit unction, for direction and guidance. And may the Holy Spirit continue to lead us and guide us as we read his word. Read the word and learn thereby. Go with us, Holy Spirit, for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's sing together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.